This is Health First with Kathy Hart, available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
We have Carla Wainwright with us today. She is a yoga teacher, a lover of music and dance, a believer in breath, and a creatrix. Today we're going to talk about the divine feminine, which Carla has been educating and growing and living in for a long time. Welcome, Carla.
Hi, thanks for having me, Kathy.
Oh, it's exciting to have you on this show. Can you tell us a little bit about when you first came to understand and start to draw wisdom from the divine in the feminine aspect?
Yeah, so, you know, I think that, you know, as a child, I was really, really connected to nature and connected to my emotions and connected to the wisdom of my body. And then as I got older, it's almost as if I lost that ability going through, you know, of course, mainstream schooling and higher education and just the environment around me. And once I hit my mid-30s, I was really feeling incredibly disconnected from my body and my being, and I felt like there needed to be something. There was something more that I was missing, and I was really fortunate to connect with some incredible teachers who opened my eyes to the wisdom of connecting with the deep feminine impulse that is really within everybody, regardless of their gender. And once I was able to reacquaint myself with that part of myself, the feminine energy, it was like a whole new world opened up for me. Yeah.
And that's where the embodiment comes from? Like, it's not just in your head. It's not just a knowing in your head. It's your whole being.
Absolutely. So, I mean, we're very much, I think all of us are really acquainted with thinking, and we're really good at that piece. And we're not so good at the part of listening to our bodies. And our body has as much wisdom as our head does. And so the embodiment piece is really about finding the stillness to be able to actually listen and hear what your body has to tell you.
And that is finding the trust to be still.
Yes, absolutely. And that's difficult because we don't have a lot of practice with that. And so being still can feel really, really uncomfortable for many of us. And so, yeah, it's a practice. Like all of these things that we embark upon to learn more about ourselves, they're all practices. Mm-hmm. And then with time and practice, they, of course, get easier.
Wow. And this has opened you up to more curiosity about life?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, I think, or I really feel like this, coming into a place where I'm able to connect with the wisdom of my body, with the energy of the feminine, in addition to the energy of the masculine, just really makes my interaction with the world so much more alive. Because I'm able to feel more within myself, and I'm able to see things that weren't always able to be seen. And I'm not talking literally about like with my eyes, but just in terms of being able to really interact with the world in a way that just feels, much more balanced, much more grounded, and much more complete.
Mm. And you've been on this healing journey for many decades now. I know you're a homeopathic doctor, and every step has been towards health and healing. Who was the teacher who inspired you the most on this path to the divine feminine?
Oh, that's such a good question. I think I'll have to say my teacher, Shakti Milan, who unfortunately passed away a few years ago. She was from South Africa, and she was really the person who helped really awaken that sleeping force of the feminine within me. And once I really got a taste of that and was studying with her, then I've been fortunate to study with other teachers as well, but I would say that she is by far been the most influential teacher on this path.
And what are some of the ways, no matter where we're at, that we can start to acknowledge that divine feminine in our lives?
Oh, that's such a great question. You know, and what's amazing is that these practices are so simple. And so I think the simplest and one of the most profound practices is to connect with nature and the earth. So cultures all over the world call the earth the Earth Mother, the Great Mother, and their names in all cultures all over the world for this beautiful planet that we live on. And we often sort of take for granted, you know, nature around us and her abundance. But if we can just be still and really close our eyes and feel the energy of the world around us, this is the heartbeat of the feminine, of the planet. So, of course, like now it's winter, it's a little hard to stand outside in your bare feet, but I definitely recommend doing that when the weather's nice. But you can be outside and place a hand on a tree or, you know, look at the forest around you or the river or anything in nature and just pause and get still and listen. And then this begins to awaken that inner knowing of connection with the feminine.
Mm-hmm. And how do you see that changing how we relate to each other on this planet?
Oh, yeah. So, you know, I very much believe that, of course, that humans we're a part of nature. We're not separate from nature. And really seeing ourselves as part of the beautiful complexities of life and that we're all part of that. And you know, one of the things that I really try to teach my own students is that each and every one of us as human beings are so much more the same than different. All of us experience the full range of emotions from, you know, sadness to anger, happiness, ecstasy, and everything in between. And so even though we may have different ideas and ways of being in the world, we are at our essence so much the same, and we're all part of nature and all part of the planet. And so when we really can look at someone regardless of our differences and really acknowledge the sameness within ourselves, that is an incredibly healing moment.
Mm. How about for all of us? All of us have had some trauma of some sort. How do we move through those stored emotions and free up that moving energy, which allows us to be more a part of.
Mm-hmm. So, absolutely, we all of us, you know, as human beings, we move in the world and can have experiences which are traumatic and very difficult. And you know, one of the most healing things that we can do is actually to, first of all, just acknowledge the difficult situations and the feelings and emotions that go with them. I think often our trauma is magnified because we don't give ourselves the space to just have the feelings and emotions that we need to express and feel. And so what happens when we don't do that, we, you know, push them into the body and you know, there's this saying, they become the issues in the tissues. So if we can actually just let ourselves have a moment of deep, overwhelming sadness or anger or fear or whatever that is, and breathe into it and recognize that this is part of our healing journey and love ourselves even in those moments, that is a very powerful step to liberating any negative stored trauma experiences in the body. The body wants to liberate those things, so we have to make a conscious effort to just allow those emotions to flow through us. And when they flow through us, then they begin to change, they begin to shift, and then we're able to feel lighter, more grounded, more open, and able to receive the healing that our body really always wants us to have.
Mm-hmm. As my teacher, you allowed me many years ago to... and the whole class to have a tantrum. And that was one of the best yoga practices of my life, to be allowed to kind of just stomp my feet. And you know, it was very safe, but it was very releasing of all it just use up all your energies like a two-year-old having a tantrum. And the release was amazing.
That's right. You know, I love that you remembered that. So if we think about a two-year-old who has a tantrum about something, it's this huge expression of energy, and they thrash and they scream and they, you know, flail around, and then it's done. And then, you know, in a few moments later, they're smiling and they're playing with their toys, and it's over because they've allowed themselves to just be fully present with the emotion and let it go through them. And we can do the same thing. So yes, you know, like if your listeners want to and they feel like they have a safe space to do that, you know, get on the floor and stomp and have a tantrum and let out like that energy that's stuck within you. And like you said, it feels so good to just let that out.
Mm-hmm. Especially like if you're going into something or, if you need to be calm and preserved in communication with someone, if that's kind of holding you back, it works really well to just do it before you head out and they go, I feel okay. That's I can right. do this.
Maybe before you see them though.
Before. Yeah, that's right. And what has this done to work with the divine feminine and to work with all our sisters in yoga community to strengthen us no matter where we're at?
Well, you know, I am such a believer in sisterhood for women, and some of us are fortunate to have women in our lives that we feel really safe with and can be vulnerable and authentic with, but many of us don't. And being able to step into a place of community and sisterhood it's definitely rooted in friendship, but it's actually different in the sense that these may be women that you don't see on a regular basis, and they may not actually know a lot about your life and, you know, the things that you do in the world, but they are able to see you for exactly as you are, without expecting you to be anybody different than you are in that moment, and are able to hold space for you no matter what you're going through. And this is, it's almost like a lost art. I feel that we did this in communities a long, long time ago, but not so much in our modern world. And so when women are able to come back into a place of sisterhood and to genuinely and open-heartedly be seen, heard, and witnessed, there's so much healing that happens from that, and then that begins to ripple out in all of her relationships. So whether that's with her partner, her children, her work, all of those things, because when she feels safe and really knows in her heart that she's enough exactly as she is, which she gets from that place of sisterhood, yeah, the transformative effects that happen, you know, as I said, in all the different aspects of her life and her world around her can be quite profound.
Mm-hmm. And in your work in the service of the divine feminine, as you journey on for years and years, how do you see it changing the dynamics of the family?
Oh, absolutely. So I think that for a woman, it really allows her to get clear and to express from that clarity what it is that she needs. So that she doesn't become depleted and worn out and overwhelmed, which are, you know, things that I hear from women all the time. You know, they're running often like a chicken with its head cut off and just overworked and overscheduled and depleted and not having time for her or just practicing the self-care that's so essential. So when women are able to tap into the energy of the divine feminine and the support and to really feel that vital aliveness within them and that balance within them. So not always operating from like the push, go, go, go masculine, but finding that beautiful intricate dance between the two. Then she's able to express her needs, which are then able to be received. And then, of course, so the household runs much better, much more harmonious. People are happier. And it's also a profound teaching for the children in the home, because instead of sort of learning one way to be in the world, they can see, how needs are different, and they're able to receive that feminine energy into their own lives and then grow up being able to really activate that within themselves also.
Okay, Carla, we're going to go to a quick break, and when we come back, let's talk a little bit about creating space and creating time and creating pleasure.